From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington. Exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
And Craig.
Whoa, go bring my shotgun. Oh, light ain't gonna start a shooting again. Go bring me my shotgun. You know I just gotta start shooting again. You know I'm gonna shoot my woman, 'cause she's fooling around with too many men.
All right, everybody. It is the Brian and Vinny Show here for January 6, 2015. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Vinny and Craig are here as always, and what an exciting night we have tonight. Raw and SmackDown. It has been suggested to me that I read the SmackDown spoilers here tonight. I'm contemplating whether I'm going to do that. Apparently they suck.
That's not a spoiler.
No, that really is not a spoiler at all. What's up, everybody? Craig is very calm and sedate today. I don't know why.
I had a nice conversation with Vincent on the way up here.
Oh, yeah?
We had a nice chat, and then I opened up my iPad and realized we have to talk about Raw.
Wow. What was your nice little chat about?
Well,
honestly,
you want it? Honest to God's truth, hair, music, and food.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
Hair, music, and food.
Yep.
What did you both conclude about both subjects?
We like them.
We're big fans.
Yeah.
And what was the song that came on, Sirius?
This morning I turned on my radio on the way to work at very early in the crack of dawn. I turned it on, Satellite's Hair Nation.
Hair Nation, a classic.
And L.A. Guns came on in a song called Kiss My Love Goodbye.
Wow.
But, as you know, if you have a readout on your dash, sometimes the text cuts off.
Oh, yeah. That's so many great comedic moments in my driving life have occurred because of that.
Yeah, well,
would you like to hear one?
Go for it.
Well, it cut off right before the D in goodbye. So the song said, Kiss My Love Goo.
Yeah.
And I had a 15-year-old chuckle.
You know what's funny is I've got a... Is yours on the radio? Or what is it? What's your satellite radio? How big is the thing?
It's probably about 7 inches across.
Okay, mine is as well. And I'm talking my cock. No.
It's bigger than that, everybody.
You knew, Craig, that was coming. No, but my screen is also 7 inches, and it does, in fact, cut off the words all the time. And there's a good 6 inches left, I think, that you could fill in with the rest of the sentence, and they just never do.
Apparently, your ruler is broken.
Well, seriously, at least one-third of the screen is still available for words, but they cut it off, and I don't know why. I have seen so many hilarious supposed song names.
Yes.
It's classic. But yes, I'm sure that was significantly better than the Raw show that we're going to talk about here tonight.
You know, they threw John Cena
a bone?
Cena appreciation night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking...
It was a fan unappreciation night?
I was thinking maybe, just for funsies, we skip Raw...
No.
And do a Vinny appreciation night someday.
A Vinny appreciation
Absolutely.
Night?
Absolutely.
My Vinny appreciation night is listening to him talk about Raw. Because that's when I appreciate him the most.
How can that be?
Because it's entertaining, Vinny.
And it's not, though.
It really is. I'm sorry that Raw sucks.
I am, too.
I'm sorry that it drives you mad. But we got to talk about it.
Because you and Dave didn't talk about it the night
Well,
before.
We did talk about it a lot, but Dave got into a side about MASH.
What? That's because MASH is better.
Old television shows that I was three when they went off the air. But yeah. You know what's funny is sometimes I listen to this show, and then I listen to the show with Dave, and I realize that I do, in fact, do the exact same thing to Vinny that Dave does to me. It's hilarious.
Cuts him off.
It's like a trickle-down effect. It's not so much cutting him off, but I don't even know why this is, but Vinny will talk about a segment, and as he's talking about it, he'll start moving on to the next segment, but I will remember something from the previous segment that I didn't talk about. Even if there's a pause where I could have said something, I won't. And then when he gets talking about the next segment, I stop to go back to talk about something from the previous segment. And Dave does the same thing to me. I try desperately to move on to the next segment, and he's got to talk about MASH. So yeah, now we just trickle down effect. We'll do the same thing to Vinny here tonight, and then Craig can pop in with some lewd, juvenile jokes. And then we'll talk about how we can't believe that he's the only one that goes to church. It's a very simple formula here on the show. Hmm. Simple and successful, unlike Raw.
Raw was, I believe, 9 hours long this week. And I'm not sure there was 15 minutes of good material.
It was a very, 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 very bad show.
Oh, God, it was boring. So it opened with basically the entire roster in the ring, in the ringside area. Darren Young was like front row center. I'm not sure how he pulled that off. So John Cena explained the authority had ordered them there for a team meeting. He apologized for going back on his word and bringing the authority back. The Helmsleys interrupted before he could drone on any further so they could drone on themselves. Hunter made sure to name drop Sting at one point. They brought out Seth Rollins. Hunter then changed the championship match at the Royal Rumble to a triple threat with Cena versus Lesnar versus Rollins. And in one of the very few highlights of the show, Rollins threw the best dorky, fist-pumping, jumping-up-and-down celebration ever.
Hey, a guy was happy to get a championship match. Yes. We should be celebrating this fact.
Oh, I am. I am. Stephanie announced that it was Cena Appreciation Night. Cena's attendance was mandatory. Hunter then booked Dolph Ziggler in an Intercontinental title defense against Bad News Barrett, who never lost the title. So this is a very fair match. And Dolph tried to have a stare down with Barrett, but there were so many goddamn people out there, he couldn't find him. And that was the opening segment.
Very long, as usual.
It actually wasn't that long. It just felt like it went forever. It only went 12 minutes.
Oh, Jesus. They all feel like they go forever. Yeah. I was so happy when I watched NXT last week, and it did not open with a 20-minute promo.
Yeah.
It opened with a wrestling match. It was so novel.
Yes. So we got Dolph Ziggler versus Bad News Barrett. Michael Cole immediately pointed out that both of these men had already won and lost this belt several times each, to ensure that it doesn't matter who wins this one.
That's right.
So they wrestled around 2 or 3 minutes. Dolph won with a crucifix. Then, to ensure that nobody got over, Bad News beat him up.
You know, absolutely, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. WWE never does anything different. Ever. To the point where when Dolph won in 3 minutes with a crucifix, I knew there was more to come. Because every time they restart a match, and you can go back like 100 years, predictable is probably the word I was looking for. Every time for about the last 100 years that they've done a match where they ended up restarting the match, it always is a finish that is not a finish that comes out of nowhere. There is no exception to this rule in the history of WWE. I knew immediately they were going to restart this match. I didn't know how, but based on the way they did the finish, there was no doubt in my mind they were going to. And in fact, that's what happened.
So the match went about 3 minutes, and then Wade beat him up for about 3 minutes. And then Kane came out and said, "Whoops, we forgot, it's best of three falls." So the bell rang, and Wade hit Wasteland in one in less than a minute, and then they went to commercial.
Yeah.
Hell of a show so far. They came back for commercial and did the third fall. About 10 minutes after the bell rang to start the match, they actually had a bit of a wrestling match going back and forth a bit. And then Kane got on the apron and Dolph super kicked him, but that was a distraction. And Wade hit the bull hammer to win the match and the title. And if you wanted to build a star, this would be the worst possible way to do it. You could have just had Wade destroy Dolph and pin him clean. But they don't want to build stars. They want to tell stories. So that's what we get.
You know what's funny? Dolph was protected to a degree in this match by the way that they booked it, in the sense that
that's the problem.
He won in 3 minutes.
He won.
And the irony of this is one of the reasons that they took the title off of him, aside from the fact that they were going to supposedly fire him at the end of the show, was young Dolph had the temerity to book a comedy show for himself without getting permission from the office. So in a sense, they were punishing him here, and they still made sure that Wade Barrett did not get over.
Yeah.
It's actually impressive and astonishing the lengths they go to not get people over. Someone could fail a drug test, and they would protect him on the way out. That's what this company has come to. Not that that has happened, but
it was a heck of a little match after the second fall. The guys worked really well together, and that's about all I can say for the match. I mean, it was.
I'm glad we have Craig here for the positivity.
Well, aside from the distraction finish,
somebody needs to do it.
Aside from the distraction finish, after the second fall, it got good.
How could you possibly think there was anything good on this show, particularly after watching the Tokyo Dome?
Ziggler's a heck of a wrestler.
After that Ishii match, for example.
There was nothing wrong with that.
They have this Ishii match, and then they come on here, and after the first fall, Wade Barrett has to beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I didn't buy one moment of that.
No.
The gentlest beating you ever saw.
Yeah, he was very careful with Dolph.
Yeah.
Throughout the night, they showed great moments in John Cena's career. They said these moments were courtesy of the WWE Network, and then most of them were moments you can't see on the WWE Network.
Typical.
It is. Renee interviewed Roman Reigns. He stole all of Superman's catchphrases. You know, I watched this show, as always, Tuesday afternoon. And Monday night, I actually had insomnia, which I haven't had in a long time. So I just turned on the network, and I watched the Dusty Rhodes Ric Flair special.
Oh, man, we were going to watch that together.
I'll watch it again.
All right.
It's an hour of awesome, awesome promos. And there's not one, funnily enough, where their bodies are facing the camera and their faces are turned off screen. Or to Renee or Tony Schiavone, whoever's holding the mic.
Are you telling nobody asked him a stupid question like, what are your thoughts?
They probably didn't ask a stupid question, but it didn't matter what the question was. In every case, they looked directly into the camera so they could speak directly and personally to you, the viewer at home, to get themselves over. And I know, breaking news, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes cut better promos than anyone on Raw these days. I know that's a shock, but just after watching an hour of that and then watching this, it was everything that they're doing wrong stands out, and they're doing a lot wrong. And a goofball Bray Wyatt promo. And then we got the Ascension. These poor fuckers.
Are you still sick, Vinny?
Actually, I'm getting much better.
Really? Your voice sounds weak tonight.
I was expecting a great big rant about Roman Reigns' promo here.
Who cares?
It's another shitty Roman Reigns promo.
I wasn't even mad this time.
Really?
It's funny to me now. Like, it can't get worse. You know what I mean?
But it did.
And it, no, to this one. It cannot get worse than this one. But if it does, that's funny. It's like, you know what I mean?
At this point, okay. When I watch Raw, I'm like the guy who has the horrible commute to work every day. But after about, you know, if you can't have a heart attack getting angry about it every single day. Eventually, you just know you're going to have a horrible commute every day. Raw's going to be awful. I know this. There's no point in getting angry.
I was really hoping that the first Raw of the new year would be good so we could start a streak in 2015.
Absolutely.
But it was the same old Raw from 2014. Nothing has changed in the new year.
So, the Ascension came out.
Oh, yeah, these guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Victor and Connor.
There is so much to talk about here. First of all, this is very, 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 very low on the list of their problems. But have you ever actually watched the dance Connor does when they're doing their pose in the ring?
I have not.
The camera's a close-up on Victor, and he gets, scoots under the apron and goes backwards into the bottom rope, and then Connor, stands up behind him, and then he does a dance. He's pumping his arms and he throws like one kick. He looks like such a tool. So Connor and Victor then began to speak. And they challenged retired men and men who have long since passed on. They threatened to destroy Demolition. Demolition has not wrestled in this company since 1991. Who are you challenging?
I'd still put my money on Bill Eadie, to be honest.
They are calling out ghosts.
Hey, don't say... Bill Eadie's doing fine.
Axe and Smash. Well, actually, they probably are still doing fine. So they ran down Demolition. They ran down the Road Warriors. JBL was sure to point out they cannot carry the Warriors' bags. So, yes.
That really helped matters.
The Ascension's gimmick is, in fact, that they are geeks.
Yeah.
They are geeks playing dress up for Halloween, and that is the message being delivered to the viewer at home.
That's right. Man, Hunter is probably so thrilled. His
wannabes.
Favorite act has been brought up, and they are being portrayed as phonies.
So we got the Ascension versus two geeks, which would be four geeks having a match then.
And I hate to say it, Craig, I hate to bring up the ghosts of Christmas past, but did I not tell you last week that if these two geeks faced two jobbers, nobody would give a shit?
I saw the same thing on SmackDown.
It did not help that they did a horrible promo before this. But my God, nobody cared one iota about these guys versus these two jobbers.
No.
Did you happen to see who they wrestled on SmackDown?
No.
Tonight or?
No, SmackDown last week.
I watched the show. I have no idea.
I watched the show too.
Rhett Titus was one of them.
Was he really?
Yes.
Well, thank God Rhett Titus was whatever he was to not be noticed.
He should have worn his romantic touch gear.
He should have.
That's why I didn't recognize him. He wasn't wearing the mask.
Really?
I got it.
So here they fought two very short men to try to make Victor look big. And they wrestled for a minute, and Connor is very much not good in the one with the Fall of Man. Lana and Rusev cut a promo backstage, said Russian Christmas was in 2 days, and Americans just stay out of Russian business. Showed Cena winning his first WWE Championship from JBL. Roman Reigns wrestled the Big Show. Show beat him up for a while. It was very dull. But it did at least encourage the fans to cheer for Roman before his comeback. Then they brawled to the floor, and Show hit him with the stairs for the DQ, and I was just wondering why anyone would choose to watch this show.
Can you imagine that you're trying to get over Roman Reigns and your great idea to make a new Bruno Sammartino, a new Hulk Hogan, a new The Rock, is to have him do promos where he says he's Superman and then sell for a long time in long, boring matches with the Big Show that end in a disqualification.
By the way,
can you imagine writing that down on a piece of paper and having Vince McMahon look at it and go, God damn, good idea!
There have been a
lot. I don't know why I had a Southern accent.
He's from Carolina. There have been a lot of movies and TV shows and even serials with Superman, and every single one of them did a better promo than Roman Reigns.
No shit.
Yeah.
Not to mention, the very first move that Show does to him is his own spear.
That's right.
If you want the guy to get over, why don't you let him run through people?
Let's not protect his finish. Let's not let him run through anybody.
He should be laying waste to people en route to the road to WrestleMania.
Now, Craig, we can't have him getting over. He must be
stupid.
A geek. It is stupid. It's a stupid show. It's a stupid company.
This made me mad.
I don't blame you.
Finally, we got some feelings out of Craig.
Oh, by the way, after a show was disqualified for hitting him with stairs, Roman speared him to death anyway. So
That's right. One
got over.
The usual. Mm-hmm. I so didn't even care. Maybe I did care, but I got it out of my system last night.
No, I don't care.
It's all funny to me now, how bad this show
is. It's not even funny. It's just boring. Speaking of which, Natalya versus Nikki Bella. So,
dude, this was better than half the stuff on the show.
All right. So Paige is out there. Apparently, I guess because she is on Total Divas, now she and Natty are friends, even though the Bellas are also on Total Divas, as far as I know. So Paige beat up Brie. This distracted Nikki, and Natalya won with a schoolgirl, because there must be a distraction in all matches. Then Nikki beat up Natalya to make sure Natalya didn't get over, and then Paige beat up Nikki to make sure Nikki didn't get over. Why would anyone watch the show?
And Paige threw a super kick, probably just to spite you.
I think someone said she'd been doing it for a while. I don't know if I believe them, but I'll take their word for it.
In a Dean Ambrose backstage promo, he said he would win the ambulance match tonight. The announcers took a moment to acknowledge the passing of Stuart Scott and send wishes to his family. That was very nice. Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper.
Again.
J&J security came out to be special refs. So they did comedy about how when Rowan was on offense, they'd get in his way. And when he made a cover, they couldn't decide whose job it was to count. And then Harper to clothesline, and Noble dropped down and counted three really fast with the pin. Man, what entertainment.
Well, you know what? The problem was the announcers did not do a good enough time or a good enough job doing their job, which is to explain why all of this is going on. It was essentially the authority going through all of the members of Team John Cena one by one all night. Rowan was stupid enough in their mind to join Team John Cena, so they had to kill him. And so they killed him by having the referee gimmick here, the two dingbat referees, and I gotta give them credit, they did the heel referee gimmick right. They did not count for the babyface, and then they fast counted the heel, and it was over. So,
and then they all beat him up.
And then they all beat him up.
Why didn't they just beat him up in the first place?
Well,
just wanted to beat him up.
After because you want to humiliate. You want to fuck him first.
I hadn't thought of that. It showed Cena getting drafted to Raw in 2005. Oh, my God. Naomi and Alicia had a meeting backstage. I'm just going to read what I wrote. Alicia wanted to be sure they'd be friends after they'd wrestled tonight. Then she made fun of Naomi for getting kicked off Total Divas to make room for Alicia. Then she attacked Alicia and screamed. The other girls broke up the fight by saying, quote, are you serious? Also, seriously?
Well, we got to make sure that this is seriously happening.
This was, I mean, it was short and it didn't, it's not like it was a major program or anything. So it didn't really matter in the long run, but good God almighty, this was bad. This was so awful. We talk all the time about how you get embarrassed watching the show. You pray to God no one actually catches you watching stuff. I was watching this alone with two sleeping cats, and I was mortified.
That the cats might wake up?
They might wake up and see me watching this.
Yeah.
This was so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
The only good thing about it is Emma was wearing a short skirt and thigh-high boots, and she is hot. And her ring gear does
Craig
her no justice.
Was not worth it. Wasn't.
Probably not, but that's what
there's this thing called the internet.
This is what I took out of this.
And I would prefer
girls
not watching this and going on the internet and searching thigh-high stockings.
They were boots.
Whatever. I'll bet
either
you anything.
Either or.
I'll bet you anything I could find something good.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose in,
no
the,
so.
In this week's shitty pointless gimmick, which was an ambulance match. So they went to the ambulance immediately. They pulled out some tables. Cole started laughing because there's no better way to get a serious death fight over than to laugh at it. So these tables, for some reason, were white with a giant red cross on them because I guess that's what you get in an ambulance match. It was terribly boring because it's an ambulance match. So all you can do is throw the guy in, tease closing the door, and have him jump out. So he did this a bunch. And Bray, oh, there's the finish. Dean hit an elbow off the ambulance through a table. And then Bray came back and he hit Sister Abigail on the concrete, as Cole said, and then immediately said, don't let that thick carpet there fool you. So Bray threw him in the ambulance and won. Hey, at least there's a clear winner in this match. Somebody did, in fact, get over here. Now, please, end this feud.
Listen, I was being positive all night. All I saw were clean finishes, one after another, up and down the show. That was good. Maybe not up and down the show, but there were several of them on this program tonight. But Ambulance match was just boring, especially since I have been listening to these two guys for the last 3 weeks talk about how they're going to kill each other. They're going to kill each other, Vinny. They're going to put each other in the grave. They're going to put each other on a slab. They said all of these things, and the first thing they do is they try to shove each other in and shut the door. As opposed to, you know, trying to kill each other like they'd promised. Got me thinking about this Dean Ambrose. You got one guy on the roster who you can give him a stupid script, and he can recite it in such a way that you believe that he's shooting from the hip. He doesn't sound like he's reading the script. And so what do you give him for a script? A stupid fucking script where he has to talk about how he's going to kill a man dead and pull out his eyeballs and turn his skin inside out. The most unbelievable promo they give to the only guy that can actually cut a believable promo. They delivered none of that in this match, although they did do one elbow off the top of the ambulance. And other than that, it was just 15 minutes of them doing moves and nobody caring.
Not to crap on your point, but he was actually on Jericho's podcast and said he doesn't actually get a script. He just gets some bullet points and he's on his own.
Well, the bullet point of kill, dead, eyeball, inside out skin, shit.
Maybe that was one of his bullet points.
Well, it's his fault then. I don't give a shit whose fault it is.
Yeah. I like this match. I thought this match was really good.
It was all right.
Dean's selling of his knee was... Actually, everything Dean does is believable, but...
So believable, I don't even remember him selling his knee.
You got to be kidding me.
No, did he sell his knee?
Like, he did. Like, there was a point where he, right before, you know, he was on the stage and he's like limping around.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem is, I've seen everything these guys can do now like five times in the past month.
Plus, who gives a shit? Nothing ever hurts him.
Yeah, they just keep fighting anyway.
Wow, he hurt his knee? I'll bet you anything he ain't limping on SmackDown. I'll bet you $5 he ain't limping on SmackDown.
Remember that time he got his throat... His throat crushed and missed no shows?
Yeah, that reminds me that there was a spot where Ambrose took a backboard and he put it on Bray's neck and he drove it in the side of the ambulance, crushing Bray's trachea, you would think. And the only commentator who mentioned it was Booker T, who isn't even a regular commentator. JBL sat there silently, and Cole was busy alerting us that we were here watching Monday Night Raw. And neither JBL or Cole ever mentioned it again, because they fucking suck.
Very terrible. Usos and Naomi versus Mrs. and Alicia. Why is this feud still going?
Because they decided that they're going to split up the Uso and Naomi again after changing their mind. They changed it again, so now we got to watch it again.
For those of you who think I have no joy in my life and nothing positive to say about anything, oh my God, Naomi. And oh my God, Naomi in these particular shorts. This is great TV. Booker, as you noted, the best announcer, even though he's not a full-timer, pointed out Mizdow is a whole lot better than The Miz. And when JB asked what he meant by that, he explained, far more entertaining.
Yep.
So the match broke down into a six-way kind of... And Naomi hit Alicia with a Rana, and this somehow distracted an Uso, because every match must have a distraction, and Miz got the pin with a handful of tights.
That's
repeat
right.
After me. Lather, rinse, repeat.
He was distracted by his partner.
Although, if my partner was Naomi in those shorts, I too would have been distracted.
But he wasn't distracted by her ass.
Yeah, that's true.
That would have at least been believable.
She ducked on the outside, on the ring apron, and was walking across... When Uso was going for something, but he had to stop because he was going to run into his own wife.
Yeah.
I thought this was actually pretty clever.
Per current WWE finish standards, you are correct.
Maybe if I hadn't already seen the two teams fight each other 16 times in the past month, and maybe if there wasn't a quote-unquote creative finish in every single goddamn match, maybe it would have mattered.
Your point is valid.
Ryback was supposed to wrestle Seth Rollins, then Kane came out and made it a handicap match, which was horrible, horrible, horrible news, because it meant we got a good 6 or 7 minutes of Ryback selling.
You know, there's no better way to get a man like Ryback over than to have him sell for 7 minutes.
I'm actually stunned I made it through the show without falling asleep. I did take a nap right before. That probably helped. But
I actually, in the middle of this match, I quit. I decided I have watched enough for the time being. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I did.
Did you hit pause or?
I did hit pause. I came back about 4 hours later and watched the rest of the show. And maybe that's why I didn't hate it so much. I just quit 2 hours in. Hmm. I pretended it was a 2 hour show. And then I came back later and pretended it was a 1 hour show. Hmm. It was much easier to digest.
So Booker T, sounding very sick of Ryback, noted, Ryback will not go away. Which is exactly how I felt. I wanted Ryback to go away. Finally, he made a comeback, but there was two of them, and he got overwhelmed and pinned with a curb stomp. This was awful, and this is the point where I decided that Raw went to a five-hour format, and nobody told me. Adam Rose versus Big E. I forgot about the fucking New Day. So the New Day had a funky clap for their guy, and the Rosebuds all joined in.
Yeah, that was actually kind of funny. Why were the Rosebuds clapping along?
Because there was a beat.
I guess.
They like to party and dance. Then Big E went for a splash, but a masked Rosebud attacked for the DQ. Then another masked Rosebud attacked the New Day guys on the floor. It turned out to be Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And then all the heels celebrated, and Rose ordered the Rosebuds into the ring to dance.
Finish they gave Big E was scary.
Yeah.
Out of the three guys, this is the one guy they shouldn't have picked.
You know what was funny was I thought that it was Goldust and Cody. And so I thought it was Goldust trying to lift up Big E. And then when they nearly killed him, I thought, well, what the hell were you having Goldust try to hoist up Big E like that for? And then they unmasked and it was Cesaro.
I can actually see that now that I think about it.
Yeah.
One guy's really big and one guy's short.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, Cesaro is much stronger than Goldust, but Big E is huge, so... He did a powerbomb blockbuster combo and managed to not kill him, barely. They plugged a network show on Biggest Crybabies. I assume Brian and I are in there somewhere. Helmsley's came out for a promo. It was the main event time, finally.
I'm not a crybaby, I'm a critic. And I'm right.
He brought out Cena.
And humble.
Wait, this is not an issue of being humble, Craig.
I was just kidding.
There was a poll.
Settle down.
Last night. Where 90% of the WWE universe, when polled, said this show sucked.
Yeah.
Amazingly, there were 1.3 thousand of them, which if my math is correct is 1,300 people, who thought that Raw was good. Who the fuck are these people?
I see what you did there.
That was funny. I just like that the 90 percentile thing, that was not hosted on Wrestling Observer or
no.
PW Torch or Lords of Wrestling. No, that was hosted by the WWE.
That was their own
their
social
own fans
media.
Said, your show sucks.
Yeah.
You were correct. So
I have to go back and read those comments.
Well, good luck. There were about 9,000 comments.
Oh, jeez.
So Hunter explained that after his very first match with John Cena, HBK had pulled him aside and said, how's the new guy? And Hunter said, he sucks.
I would bet you $1 million that's a true story.
There's very few products this company can make now that I would buy because I'm so sick of everything they do. If you sold me a two-hour DVD of Hunter Hearst Helmsley honestly burying guys, just burials throughout the years from one match with Benoit saying he's a good hand.
To, no, it's better. He can be carried.
He can be carried. To Matt Cena saying he sucks. Just Hunter burying
Jeff
guys
Hardy.
Right and left over the years. My God, that DVD would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So he brought out Ryback, Rowan, and Ziggler. Yammered on for a while about Christ knows what. Finally determined that Rowan should be suspended for 30 days and Ryback should be suspended for 60 days and Dolph should be suspended for 90 days. They didn't care. Cena was appalled. And then the Helmsleys left. Went to the top of the stage and said, never mind, you're all just fired, and you can thank Cena. They played celebration music, and they dropped confetti for the sky. So the point of this all is that Ryback and Dolph Ziggler and Eric Rowan are complete geeks. The company does not want them. The company deems they are better off without them. They are now losers who have to go find some other menial task. They have no value as sports entertainers. And meanwhile, they also lose jobs that they didn't want anyway. They don't have to work for these people anymore. So it seems to me to be a win-win for all involved. What's the problem?
Well, I don't know. Then I mean, we all know that wrestlers are poor. Yeah. So any menial job, they should probably make comparable money, right?
Exactly. Maybe even a raise.
My question is, was there one mention all night long of the multi-million dollar lawsuit that has been filed by Edge and Christian? I don't remember hearing anything about this.
Not a whisper.
Hmm. Crazy.
The visual of a dejected John Cena in the ring as a party was going on.
That was the best thing on the show.
Pretty darn awesome.
No, Naomi.
No, this actually, believe it or not, was better. Hmm. They played the music, they dropped the balloons and confetti, and a morose John Cena is just standing there, his world collapsing around him in a pool of confetti. That's great. That's Raw, everybody. A winner of a show! Let's play a song. Someone needs to take this I Hate Everything About TNA and change it to Raw. Let's do this. Menagerie. 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 Here's how you say menagerie.
Menagerie.
Excuse me?
Menagerie.
Menagerie. Excuse me? Menagerie. 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 Boom. All right. Well, I guess we got to do Nitro. Craig, you have any thoughts on the Tokyo Dome before we do that? That we haven't heard before?
Everybody go see it now. Stop this show.
Don't stop this show.
And no, go, they should stop the show.
Have you learned anything from listening to radio or television? Don't touch that dial, but later you can go watch the Tokyo Dome.
I am well aware that show is better than our show. I don't feel like lying to the people about
that. Well, I won't argue with that, but you can enjoy both shows.
That show was amazing. It was the best money I spent so far this year. Granted, it's only 6 days, but thumbs up. You want more?
I was just slow on the button. Oh,
Brian was actually going door to door gathering people to come clap. That's why he was going
yeah,
so hard.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. All right. Well, let's do Nitro.
Craig, I know you're a big fan of the Bobby Heenan middle finger of death.
Oh, my goodness.
He almost got stuck.
This one, Lance and I think we're going to term it the Bobby Heenan salute. It started with the handheld or with the mic, and he was fiddling with it, and the middle finger went from the top of the mic to his nose and then scratching his lip. This was like 20 seconds of middle finger.
Yeah. He doesn't like the guy.
Actually, Eric was talking this time.
Huh.
I repeat, he doesn't like the guy.
I love the announcers are talking about the Civil War of 1996. And this was a show where Bischoff just decided he was going to target Raw again.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about this lineup. We've got Eddie Guerrero versus William Regal, Benoit, Alex Wright. And in the main event, we've got Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage against Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. The other guys aren't giving you this kind of stuff for free.
They were all night long laying on the anti-WWF spiel thick.
You know, what was so funny about it, too, was the great irony. There were two talking points that Bischoff made. One was that we're giving you this great stuff for free, and they're not. And the other one was that I cannot believe the WWE is raising the price of their pay-per-views. And the irony is, giving away all that bullshit for free was one of the big mistakes WCW made.
Yes.
And when WWF raised the price of their pay-per-views, that's what arguably saved the company.
Didn't their sales go up?
Their
like the
sales
buys went up.
Their buys went up dramatically when they raised the price. And their revenue skyrocketed. They were having one of their worst years of all time. I don't know if they really would have gone out of business, but they were as close to going out of business as they ever were, probably except for if WrestleMania 1 had failed. But they were not doing well, and it was raising the price of the pay-per-view that started to turn things around for him. So everything Bischoff was mocking them for and praising himself for were things that bit each other on the ass.
Yeah. Not to mention later on when he mentioned that Mankind had won the title, like everybody turned the channel
yes.
to watch that.
Many years later. He made a lot of dumb mistakes, I have yeah. been told.
He did. Chris Benoit versus Alex Wright.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you've ever mentioned this before, but Chris Benoit was an excellent, excellent pro wrestler.
Yeah.
He did not ever go through the motions. It was never a waste of time watching. Watching, you know. You see,
I would have liked to have seen him go through the motions.
I've seen 700,000 back elbows in my day. But he threw a back elbow. I thought, holy crap, look at that back elbow.
That's right.
And he picked him up and hit a body slam. And I thought, holy crap, look at that body slam. So Brian Pillman was also out there interfering. And then Alex Wright made a big comeback and wiped out Pillman. And then Wright basically got the heat on Benoit. Worked him over for a while. Put him in a Boston Crab, then an STF. And Pillman tried to trip him, and Wright wiped him out again. And they took turns going for suplexes and not getting them. Actually, the finish was awesome. They kept going for suplexes, a dragon suplex here or a Northern Light suplex there. And the guy about to get suplexes would always fight it off. And they traded it about 5 attempts at this. And finally, Benoit just hauled off, punched him in the face, and then hit a dragon suplex for the win. That was a great finish.
A fun little match right here. I liked how they were still talking about the over-the-top rope DQs. When did they finally give up on this bullshit?
Vinny and I were just talking about that.
God damn, driving me crazy.
I asked Vinny, I said, in WCW, is it illegal to throw a man over the top rope or is it not?
Well, what happened was, technically it was illegal to throw a man over the top rope, but everyone just started throwing each other over the top rope, and Bischoff would constantly decide that that one wasn't a DQ. And I presume at some point they just dropped it. I don't know why Bischoff just didn't have a meeting one day and just say, okay, throw each other over the top rope now. Like, who was really fucking keeping track of this fucking rule? Fans?
Well, in the NWA back in the day, that was
illegal. I know that, but in 1996?
Also in Ohio Valley, it was illegal.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking WCW in 1996.
I'm sure Eric Bischoff was very concerned about the Ohio Valley rulebook.
No one had been disqualified for throwing someone over the top rope since probably 1992. And they were still talking about this fucking rule. Meanwhile, Alex Wright is standing on the post, and he does a dive all the way down to the floor. That's okay, but throwing a man over the top rope is far too dangerous.
Well, he threw himself over the top rope.
Sick of this rule. Just end it.
And by the way, Pillman is a dastardly heel in this match.
Crazy man.
He was awesome.
Yes, he was. Speaking of awesome.
Yes, sir.
Lord Steven Regal versus Eddie Guerrero.
A fine little battle here.
A quick aside. Here was another moment where Bischoff went crazy on attack mode. Out and out said, told fans, don't buy that Royal Fumble pay-per-view.
The Royal Fumble.
How clever.
Man. He showed them.
So these guys did the most beautiful chain wrestling you ever saw. And eventually Regal, who was much larger, cut him off and just started hitting elbow smashes and other power spots because he was so big.
I don't want to harp on Vince McMahon, but William Regal was unbelievable during this match. He was so awesome. He had the best facial expressions you ever saw. He was unbelievable on the mat. He could do everything. He was absolutely tremendous. And Vince McMahon never saw anything in this guy's work. Was never impressed with William Regal. He was just a guy that did a bunch of holds. Come on.
You're really underselling this. Eddie took the offense early with all of his lucha stuff. He hit lucha move after lucha move after lucha move. And then Regal got the heat with a European uppercut.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Clever little guy.
I loved when Regal was dropping a series of elbows on young Eddie, and Eddie decided he was going to sit up.
Yes.
But Regal decided, I have one more elbow I'm going to give you, you little fucker. And so as Eddie is sitting up, Regal dropped the elbow anyway. Nearly killed him. Mm-hmm. Oh, this match was beautiful.
So Eddie kept getting host spots and getting cut off, and then finally hit a backslide out of nowhere for the win. That was a great wrestling match.
Yes, it was. It was.
Gene Okerlund interviewed Sting and Lex Luger. Sting had a question for Lex. And they had still photos showing the finish of the triangle match. And when I say still photos, they showed so many still photos, they may have well just showed the actual shot of what happened. So what happened was, of course, they were both outside the ring. And as Sting was about to re-enter, Lex reached up and grabbed him. So Sting couldn't get in, and they both got counted out, and Ric Flair won.
2 weeks ago, and
yeah,
they're finally talking about it.
Yes, it had been, yes, they teamed up last week on Nitro and just didn't care. So Lex explained that he had injured his knee, and he was just reaching out so Sting could help him up. This sounds like a bullshit excuse.
Yep.
Before Sting could answer, Lex said, "Let me prove that we can be trusted. We should be a regular tag team." And Sting thought that was a great idea, because Lord knows nothing has ever gone wrong with Sting picking a tag team partner.
They're back on the same page. Everything's great.
They are. Then Sting wrestled Diamond Dallas Page.
You know what's amazing about this match? When Diamond Dallas Page was in his late 30s, which he was in this match right here, he may have even been in his early 40s, but I think it was his late 30s. He looked like he was in his mid-50s. Now, that sounds like it's bad to be in your late 30s and look like you're in your mid-50s.
Tell me about it.
But amazingly, he never aged again. Aside from his haircut, he looks almost exactly the same now as he did when he was in his late 30s. So, Vinny, there's hope for you.
That's right.
You can remain looking 55 for another 20 years.
Sweet. So they did the spot for the heat where Sting tries a leapfrog, but he doesn't quite get high enough and his balls hit Paige's head. There's always a goofy spot for the heat because it makes everyone involved look terribly clumsy.
And homosexual.
Mostly clumsy.
Mostly it just meant DDP was a tall man.
No, that's true. He is big. So,
and dirty.
Are you done?
Would you like to continue, Craig, with your...
He came out to the ring and he looked like a greaseball.
Yes, he does. Why is
fantastic
it, why is it homosexual that he tried to run underneath this man, but he was too tall?
I was making,
and he hit him in the balls.
I was making an inappropriate joke, Brian. Just let it slide.
It's 2015, Craig, and we're in Washington State. You can't make jokes like that.
Sure I can.
Go on, Vinny.
Just did.
So Paige got the heat. It was mostly a long chin lock. And then Sting tried a scorpion, and Paige got the ropes, and they just kept going. And this match was going nowhere and taking a sweet time to get there. And then finally, Sting won with the scorpion. This was not very good.
Did you notice that Diamond Dallas Page tapped out?
Repeatedly at first.
No, I did not.
He must have been watching UFC. People didn't tap out in 1996, especially early 96. They just shook their head repeatedly till the referee called for the bell, but DDP tapped.
This match sucked.
What are you talking about? It was fine.
I hated this match.
It was not very
good. Oh, my God. You watched Raw this week and you have a problem with DDP versus Sting? This
was
fine.
Because Raw was worse does not mean this was very good.
It was fine. This was fine.
No good.
Main event was Ric Flair and Arn Anderson versus Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
You gotta tell me this was no good, Craig?
This was better.
I'll beat your ass.
This was better.
This match was great.
It was the formula tag match down to the letter. Babyfaces ran wild forever. Lots of Hogan Flair shtick.
Dude, you're underplaying this running wild. Hulk Hogan discovered the fountain of youth. Mm-hmm. My God, this guy was running like a crazy man all over the ring. Just a wild man. Beating the shit out of Flair, backdrops, all this craziness. And then they do this double figure four spot.
Yeah.
A couple of things. First off, Hulk Hogan putting on a figure four is never not hilarious. Second off, Hogan has Arn in the figure four. And Savage has Flair in the figure four, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
Arn Anderson, instead of saving himself, chooses instead to save his buddy Ric Flair. As he is writhing in pain, he reaches over to scratch the eyes of Randy Savage so Randy Savage will let go of Ric Flair. Arn, a fucking horseman of the end.
Yes.
That was my favorite part of the match.
I didn't even notice, but that is a great spot.
That's right. He didn't even care about his own broken legs. His bigger concern
was to save
Ric Flair.
Yes.
God, that was great.
Yes, that is why Arn was awesome. I liked Hogan doing, Savage did the figure four the way 99% of everyone does it with a spinning toe hold and then crossing the legs and dropping back. Hogan grabs the other leg, does the old school leg grapevine, and then slaps in the hold.
Yeah.
And it was not, I know he's done some where like the straight leg goes on top, so the hold isn't even really on. He has to pretend that the guy's locked in and can't move. But this is actually sweet, the way this turned out. So they got the heat on Savage for a while. And then Hogan got the hot tag, did the Hogan comeback, and pinned Arn with a leg drop.
That's right. The best part. Actually, I take it back. Arn saving Ric Flair was the second best part. The best part of the match also involved Arn Anderson. Hogan is doing his big comeback on Flair, and Arn gets the hot tag, and he hits a spine buster, and the place goes crazy. And he hits the spine buster, and he turns around to celebrate his spine buster, and Hulk Hogan pops up. And Arn Anderson turns around, and he sees that Hulk Hogan is standing there pointing a finger at his face. Everybody, listen to me. Before you watch New Japan, go to the WWE Network and load up this episode of Nitro and gander at Arn Anderson as a look of complete resignation comes over his face when he sees Hulk Hogan standing there. It is a look of a man who knows that Hulk Hogan is now doing his Hulk up. He knows that he is going to throw a punch, and Hulk Hogan is going to block it, and then begin his big comeback, boot him, leg drop him, and pin him. But Arn knows there's nothing he can do about it. He can't help but throw this punch. The look of resignation as he throws this punch that, of course, gets blocked was the best moment in the history of World Championship Wrestling, I would go as far as to say. It was so amazing. And sure as shit, Hogan hulks up, boots him, leg drops him, and pins him. And that was the end of Arn Anderson. This was so great.
The other thing to look for is the way the crowd is absolutely losing their minds during the figure four spot.
Yes. Figure four. What could be better?
They pulled the camera back, and everybody from the front row to all the way to the rafters is just losing their minds.
Yeah.
Nobody in the crowd on Raw did anything resembling this at all.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, he's right.
He is correct. Hey, everybody, mark one for Craig. Where's my bell ring
or something?
Yeah, where's my, might help if I turned it up. There we go. You're right. Nothing on Raw got as big a pop as that.
No, because nobody cares anymore.
No one cares anymore. But no. I cared about this match and this finish and everything about it. Then what happened, Vinny?
So Hogan won. And like literally as soon as the ref counted three, the other horseman hit the ring. But lo and behold, who should attack the horseman but the Dungeon of Doom?
Oh, no.
Brian Pillman's been starting fires.
That's right.
So that brawl breaks out. The horsemen eventually bail. Giant hits the ring. He choke slams Hogan. He choke slams Savage. Choke slams, I said. And then Zodiac, once again, was the one to talk Giant down and bring peace to things. Then it had a very abrupt ending. It must have been right up against the hour. And that was that. And we mentioned this last week when this Dungeon of Doom horseman thing started about the amazing contrast between these two teams.
Yeah.
I was just watching this and thinking, what does Zodiac do when he's not being the Zodiac? Like, we know when Nitro ends, Brian Pillman explained, they go to the limousine and they break out the Dom Perignon and the naked women. What does Zodiac do with his spare time?
Well, I bet he goes backstage and washes off all the paint and sits there, toweled over his genitals. He looks at Kevin Sullivan and just says, fuck. And then he goes and cuts some hair.
Actually, Michael,
anything I got.
Actually, Mike Sempervivi sent me a video. Apparently, he dances in a gentleman's club.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That was years earlier, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, old habits die hard, I'm sure.
Sure.
Well, you know, they do die hard.
Not a gentleman's club, but a ladies' club.
A ladies' club. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the Booty Man, his earlier job.
Forgot
yeah.
about that one.
And
that's right. He was the Booty Man.
And gyrates rhythmically to Scandal.
Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Listen, if anybody's listening to this right now and you know whether or not we actually get a Chris Benoit Zodiac match, please do not alert me because I want to be thrilled and surprised.
And he's losing it for some reason.
Why is that so funny? I want that match.
You mentioned it before.
I know.
But I forgot until right now.
I want to see Chris Benoit against the Zodiac.
See if he knocks the paint off of him or
yeah.
What? I see.
I don't know. Is it really that funny?
Yes.
Everybody's got a match they want to see.
Sure.
How can you not want to see that match, Vinny?
Well, I guess I do.
That's right. Well, hopefully we get it. And I hope it's not on Saturday night, because I haven't been watching that one, and I don't think that one's on the network. They couldn't possibly put a match that big on Saturday night. That's a pay-per-view match right there.
Think so, huh?
I think so.
I can confirm.
What the hell happened to Disco Inferno, by the way? He was coming out and dancing on every show. Remember that? And then
apparently,
all of a sudden, he wasn't no more.
The Das Wunderkid took his...
Didn't Benoit beat his ass on one of these Nitros? I forget.
Disco?
Yeah.
I'm sure, but he's got years to do it.
No, but I mean, on one we've watched already.
I don't think so.
Because if it happened, we haven't seen him
last
since.
Last I remember was Disco and Sabu.
Oh, yeah. No wonder he has not shown his face again.
He's afraid to wrestle
away
again.
Too.
That's right. Well, I guess that's the show, everybody. This is the quickest we've ever gotten done, but that's all we got to talk about. So everybody go watch the Tokyo Dome if you haven't already. And if you haven't already, you're probably not going to watch it. To your own... Oh, you know what? We do have one more thing. Stand by, everybody. I was politely requested to read the SmackDown spoilers because I was told that they were really, really horrible. So let's wrap up the show by going through them here. Seth Rollins does a promo, and he is interrupted by Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns sends him packing. They announce it will be Big Show and Seth Rollins against Reigns and a mystery partner for the main event. A Big E pinned Adam Rose. Didn't we just see that on Raw?
Kind of?
Okay.
Same match.
The Ascension beat two jobbers.
Saw that.
Alicia Fox beat Naomi.
Okay, wait, hang on. Wait.
Yes.
Let's not watch this show.
Well, I'm not done yet. Maybe there's more. The Usos. Guess who they faced?
The Mizes.
The Mizes?
As well as Gold and Stardust.
Oh, good.
That's right. A three-way. Bad News Barrett lost a non-title match.
Jesus Christ.
And guess who beat him?
If it's Dolph Ziggler, I'm coming over this desk.
Sin Cara.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Sin Cara beat Bad News Barrett, but then Bad News Barrett laid out Sin Cara.
Of course he did.
That's right. I should just read the beginning of these, and you guys can fill in the blanks.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
Roman Reigns and his partner Dean Ambrose...
Okay.
Faced Seth Rollins and The Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happened?
There was a distraction from Bray Wyatt and Dean got pinned.
I'm going to go with a count out.
You're both wrong. Amazingly, Roman Reigns pinned Seth Rollins.
Oh, right, because he's going to cash in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's your SmackDown spoilers, everybody. A fun and exciting show coming up Friday. And don't forget, this Wednesday, the debut on Destination America of TNA Impact.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have Destination America yet. I should probably get on that, huh?
You know who does?
No, don't.
DirecTV.
Craig, I don't want it. That's your problem.
Okay.
He looked more like Cameron every day.
No, actually, Cameron looks more like me every day.
All right, everybody. That's enough jibber-jabber. We're going to wrap it up, but we will be back on Thursday, Vinny and I. We will be joined by Granny, and we will watch TNA on Destination America.
No!
And we got a lot of other fun stuff coming up, everybody, so check it out. Stay away from that cocaine, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
How did I not make a Zodiac John Jones joke? Bye, everyone.